Welcome to a special edition of the Michael Slate Show. Last weekend was the fifth week of demonstrations and actions around the country demanding that the Trump-Pence regime must be removed from power. The movement called on everyone who recognized the fascistic character of this regime to take to the streets until the Trump-Pence regime is driven out of power altogether. This regime poses a catastrophic danger to humanity. Concentration camps on the border, environmental devastation accelerated, the danger of war, even nuclear, threatened. White supremacy rules, fascist mobs, and racist mass murderers. Truth and science erased, the right to an abortion near gone. The rule of law and democratic and civil rights are stripped away. This is fascism unfolding. As a flyer announcing the demonstration last weekend put it, if you are anguished by what the Trump-Pence regime has already done and filled with dread for the future, will you bury your hopes and conscience, or will you take to the streets in protest? The decision is yours, sisters and brothers. It's a decision to make, and it will be one of the most important decisions you will ever make. This week, we will be hearing voices of some of the people who took part in the opening salvo of this campaign last weekend. If you want to find out more about this campaign, go to refusefascism.org and get hooked up. We begin the show with a speech by Andy Z, a co-initiator of Refuse Fascism and part of the National Revolution Tour.
So I want to introduce to you a co-initiator of Refuse Fascism, a strategic leader and writer in this movement, a spokesperson for Revolution Books, which is up in Harlem. You should visit it if you haven't. And a very, very important and dear friend of my own, I am proud to give to you a member of our editorial board, Andy Z. Make some noise.
All right. So I want to thank the DJs for coming out and doing this. Back in the 1960s, there was a song. It was called Dancing in the Streets. Now it meant what it said. But it also meant something else. Think about it.
It doesn't matter what you wear, as long as you are here.
All right, we got some poets in the house. Now listen, not one more day. Not one more day should children be put in cages and separated from their parents for the basic human right of seeking asylum. Which are the white supremacists who rule this country today? They see as a crime. 5 weeks ago, at this very park, we began with those words. Not one more day, and too many days have already passed, and too many are still to come. If we do not change the equation in this country and mobilize the one power that could drive this regime out, which is the power of the people, which all of you here today represent. And we have to do this. Not just because of the anguish, not just because of the stifling of creativity of these children from being put in cages and separated from their parents, but because this shocks our conscience, and it is the height of immorality, but because this program of putting children in cages and shipping them across the country and putting their parents in concentration camps is only the opening shot, the battering ram for an entire fascist program of this regime. It is where this regime is leading the world, and it is because of its fascist essence that, yes, this regime will stifle and put an end to all the struggles for social justice and for progress, and it poses a catastrophic danger to humanity and to the planet. Catastrophe. Catastrophe. This is a word that came from the Greek in the 1500s, and it was applied to theater at that time, to drama. It applied to the end of a tragedy. Children in cages and wrapped in blankets. 5,400 since the beginning of this regime, 70,000 refugees in camps. Is this not a tragedy?
Yes.
It is. But it is just the beginning of a course of history that it is on us to stop. stop. Climate change, white supremacy, xenophobia, the hatred of foreigners, endless wars. All of this, patriarchy, all of this is the program of this regime. And this is not going to be just a roving band of Mad Max maniacs running around. It is going to be a situation of a gated North against the people of the South, stretching across the southern border of the United States and southern Europe to keep out all those people that this system has destroyed their climates, destroyed their countries from coming north, and what they will be met with is walls and guns and concentration camps if we do not stop this. And let's be clear that these horrific tragedies of today that fuel the passion of this fascist regime and their rabid base and their supporters is being normalized through the ignorance and the complacency of all too many who know this is happening and yet go about their lives. And we have to be clear again that this is bringing catastrophe today. It's bringing tragedy today and catastrophe tomorrow, and that tomorrow could come soon. Some will say, and some will catcall, that this is a negative message. But you have not gathered here today to be negative. We have not gathered here to push a negative message. That's not what you're hearing in the music. We've come together to gather together today with hundreds and thousands across the country, and ultimately we need millions of people to sign the warning of what is actually coming down. We, all of us here today, are putting forth and we're modeling by being out here in the streets a positive message. We are bringing a message of hope. We are overcoming the fear of this great negative that is this fascist regime and bringing, changing our dread for the future into a force for hope for humanity. So say with me the following: in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. So 5 weeks ago, as I said, we began, and we have begun. But let's be clear, we have not won. And driving this regime from power is the only reason refuse fascism exists, and it is the reason that we launched out now. Anything less, I am not interested in, and neither should you be. We are not doing this to build our thing, our little enterprise of resistance, our purchase on that resistance. And especially so, this kind of thinking has to be gone from every movement of resistance as we unite together to drive this regime out. And especially so in a country like this. The reality is that the Trump-Pence regime, they are not driven from power. Both the powerful forces who are behind them and the rabid fascist base that you have to confront, numbers in the millions of people, will be empowered and the world will be radically different. But you have not done that. You've gotten off your couch. We have to get to the other people and tell them that there is no savior coming to deliver them from what is affecting humanity right now. This is serious. It could be existential for the planet and for humanity, whether or not we are able to succeed. In The Handmaid's Tale, or rather in the sequel to The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood, she writes of a woman, that book is called The Testaments. She writes in that book of a woman suddenly arrested in Gilead, which is a successor to the United States when it becomes fascist. She writes, "Why did I think it would nonetheless be business as usual? Because we've been hearing these things for so long, I suppose. You don't believe the sky is falling until a chunk of it hits you. Are we going to wait till that time?
No!
There is only one way to stop what is unfolding. And that is people coming together and acting in a sustained way. That means continuing protest. Yes, we started when it was warm and it's cold today, and I'm sure we haven't seen the coldest of the winter yet. But that what is coming is a different kind of winter. And it is going to be, as Gil Scott-Heron said many days, years ago, winter in America, should these fascists succeed. But we have begun. We've begun a mission. And here's the mission. It's very simple. There's a single demand. Trump, Pence, out now. Raise that sign up high. Trump, Pence, out now. That's the one demand that everybody should be able to unite on. Yes, those who believe deeply that this system can be reformed, those who believe deeply that in electing a Democrat, they will bring progress. But everybody has to see, and those who, like myself, think that you need an actual fundamental change in this system and a revolution to change things. All of us can unite around this one demand. Trump, Pence out now, and the only way to do that, as I said, is through sustained protest. You know, we have to face some of the reality. There's not too many of us here today. Maybe 100 all told here. There's more up in Harlem. There's a few up in Midtown. There's hundreds around the country. That's not enough. But it really does matter that we've begun. You know, in 1942, a small group of students formed up in Germany. This was after Hitler came to power. It was 3 years after World War II began. And they were captured in 1943. But before they were executed, they said this. A young woman said this. Someday, somebody, after all, had to make a start. What we wrote and what we said is also believed by many others. They just don't dare to express themselves as we did. Well, with the 5-week launch of Out Now, we have made a start. And many today believe, as we do, that this regime is a nightmare. And it should be gone, and yet some don't dare to express themselves even today. But unlike those brave students in Germany who called themselves the White Rose, we are not yet in this country in full-blown fascism. Yet. But make no mistake, this country is on the road to fascism. And the more it gathers momentum, and the more people adjust to this great injustice, the higher the hurdle and the harder the fight will be. But it is not too late to build this movement. But as Bob Dylan once sang years ago when he was still Bob Dylan, let us not talk falsely now. The hour is getting late, and the wind is beginning to howl. And as I've said at every one of these rallying, quoting W.B. Yeats, the poet, World War I, Razzie, that the worst are full of passion and intensity, but the best lack all conviction. And before I get to how we're going to advance this movement, I do want you to get a sense of the scale and scope of this. We have our work really cut out for us. The time to do this is now. But this, let me say this. There is a fascist movement that is growing across this country. That's what you see in these campaign rallies, in the universities. They are coming to the universities. They are spreading through the universities. At UCLA last week, Refuse Fascism and Out Now mobilized 120 students to protest against them. That was a very positive thing, but there were 400 of these young fascists at the university, and there were more lined up outside. At Boston University, 200 people protested these fascists in this group called Turning Point. But there were 1,200 inside to hear this more sophisticated fascist, Ben Shapiro. These are things we need to actually take into account. And at Berkeley next week, I believe it. And you have fascists right in the White House giving advice, people like Stephen Miller. These people are all over the country in state legislatures, in the courts, in our communities, in Breitbart, in Fox News. This is a serious fight we have. And you've got to get out there and struggle with your friends, your neighbors, people who aren't your friends and your neighbors, but are people who live in your neighborhood. You've got to struggle with them about what the actual situation is. So let's be clear. And I'm going into this in some depth today. And the reason I'm doing that is because those of you who have braved the cold, those of you who have come out repeatedly, week after week, and those who stumbled upon this today need to know the reality, and you need to take that to your friends. Refuse Fascism has said that fascism rules by organized repression and terror, by the government. Civil liberties stripped away, laws rewritten, consent is criminalized. The courts are packed with fascists, and the separation of powers of church and state are taken away. And as part of radically remaking society, sharply attack even those in positions of power who oppose them. You see this in the impeachment hearings. And fascism also mobilizes fascist mobs of vicious stuff.
The beginning is Charlie Jones, Virginia,
last
2 years ago. And we're seeing right
now in mass murders of Jews in Pittsburgh,
of immigrants in El Paso. This is the reality, my friends, and this is what we must stop. And it's not going to be stopped by anybody. You out here are the answer to this, not by yourselves, but by yourselves rallying together with us to mobilize thousands of people and then millions of people to drive this to do right now. The Democratic Party leaders who won't even say the word fascist. Has Bernie said this? Has he uttered the word?
No.
No, he has not. And that's also why he said, in relationship to the border, well, there's a lot of desperate people in the world. He can't just go to the border. He's telling you right there the interest that he has in mind, that it concerns him. And as for impeachment, Barry spoke to it earlier, but they want you to be spectators in the narrow concern that they are impeaching Trump on, which is national security and the legitimacy of their election. Yes, these are real issues from their perspective, and they're real issues in terms of combating fascism. But they are not impeaching him on the full fascist agenda, the full array of this, and thus far, by not doing that, they will be legitimating this agenda. And they will leave in place, should they somehow succeed in removing Trump, that Christian fascist intent in power and the whole regime still intact. But look, I want to return now to what we have accomplished. What have we done? Over the past 5 weeks, hundreds of people have demonstrated across the country every week. In protest from a dozen people in small towns to hundreds of places like New York. We have taken actions that have been out in the media, that have spread the word of Out Now. To millions of people have seen this on television. This hashtag Out Now, wherever there's a sign. What have we accomplished? We put our demand before people. We put this concept before people that people have to get out in the street in a continued way. We bottled a way to do this week after week. And there are many social forces looking at what we are doing and measuring what they are doing in relationship to Out Now. And many can and should be a part of this. Everybody here should go out to any organizations you know and say there is room for you in these protests. Come with your demands and come with your signs, but come. But what remains to be done is we have to work together with all of you and thousands of others to solve what is a very big problem that no one has solved as yet. How to move hundreds and thousands into the streets in sustained protest, as is being done in other countries, as you were chanting before, as we've learned from Puerto Rico, from Hong Kong, from Chile, and Lebanon. So here, to conclude this, we do have a proposal from Refuse Fascism on how to go forward. No, this isn't going to be the last cold Saturday we're out here. But we are saying that next Sunday, the 24th of November, Refuse Fascism is calling for mass meetings around the country to discuss Out Now, to make plans for how do we get those out. We want to hear from you what your ideas are on that, how you see solving this problem. This is not something that just we can solve. And let's be clear, there's other marches that sometimes involve 100 or 200 people in response to this or that outrage. But nobody yet has solved the problem in this country of how to bring out the kind of struggle that we've seen around the world. Should we not do that, as I said, it will be catastrophic for humanity. So that is what we're going to be getting into in these meetings. In these meetings, we're going to make some plans and figure out how do we go forward from here and continue sustained protests of different kinds, in different places, but also every place. So for the first, after the 24th, next Sunday, comes Thanksgiving. Well, they have a big part of that holiday, which is chop, chop, chop the crop of Black Friday. So we're having a little contest. Who can come up with the most creative way to go up against that with the message that Trump Pence must go now? All right? So you can send your ideas and you can come to the meeting and work out some plans and we'll hit the streets on Friday or Saturday. This is some serious stuff. We can have another DJ. We can do some more dancing in the streets before we march to Trump Tower. In 2018, we issued a call. And I want you to join me in this pledge that I've slightly changed for today. Let it not be said that we did not move heaven and earth.
That we did not move heaven and earth.
To drive out this regime.
To drive out this regime.
And let us stand together.
And let us stand together.
With conviction and courage.
With conviction and courage.
Overcoming fear and uncertainty.
Overcoming fear and uncertainty.
To resist and say.
To resist and say.
Trump heads out now.
Trump heads out now.
Not just for ourselves.
Not just for ourselves.
But in the name of humanity.
But in the name of humanity.
And again, in the name of humanity.
In the name of humanity.
We refuse to accept.
We refuse to accept.
A fascist America.
A fascist America.
Trump heads out now.
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 Now we'll hear a short statement from Steve Rohde, a constitutional lawyer, a former president of the ACLU of Southern California, and chair of the Interfaith Communities United for Justice and Peace.
The former enslaved person and ardent abolitionist Frederick Douglass said the following words, which apply to our dire, dangerous situation today. It is not the light that is needed, but fire. It is not the gentle shower, but thunder. We need the storm, the whirlwind, and the earthquake. The feeling of the nation must be quickened. The conscience of the nation must be roused. The propriety of the nation must be startled. The hypocrisy of the nation must be exposed, and its crimes against God and man must be proclaimed and denounced. Is that what you think? The extraordinary writer, Henry Giroux, in his new book, The Terror of the Unforeseen, sees the reemergence of fascism in an unceasing stream of racism, demonizing insults, lies, and militarized rhetoric, serving as emotional appeals that are endlessly circulated and reproduced at the highest levels of government and the media. Listen to this indictment of this administration. People in power have turned their backs on the cautionary histories of the fascist and Nazi regimes, and in doing so, willingly embrace a number of authoritarian messages and tropes. The cult of the leader, the discourse of the savior, white nationalism, a narrative of decline, unchecked casino capitalism, systemic racism, silence in the face of a growing police state, the encouragement of state-endorsed violence, the hollowing out of democracy by corporate power, a grotesque celebration of greed, a massive growth in inequality of wealth, power, and resources, a brutal politics of disposability, and an expanding culture of cruelty and disdain for public virtues, all wrapped up in an authoritarian populism. This is a very dangerous time. I'm probably one of the oldest people at this rally. I stood to oppose the Vietnam War. People said we couldn't do that. We couldn't oppose our government. We couldn't question authority. We did that then, and we need to do that now. Frederick Douglass also said, if there is no struggle, there is no progress. Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, it never will. We need to demand that the Trump-Pence regime goes. Forgive me as a constitutional historian, a little bit of history. The people who wrote the Constitution feared the fetus of monarchy and an elective king. That's what they most feared. They knew that periodic elections are not enough. The people deserve the ultimate power to remove a president who is abusing the highest office in the land without waiting for the next election. So at the Constitutional Convention, it was clear they would adopt the power of impeachment. One asked, shall the man? Listen to these words written over 250 years ago. Think of them today. Quote, shall the man who has practiced corruption and by that means procured his appointment in the first place be suffered to escape punishment by repeating his guilt? They knew we were going to get Donald Trump, and they knew we would need to remove him. James Madison called it indispensable that some provision should be made for defending the community against the incapacity, negligence, and perfidy of the chief magistrate who might pervert his administration into a scheme of peculation and oppression and might betray his trust to foreign powers. Trump-Pence must be removed. Yeah. Trump-Pence must be removed. Yeah. Trump lifted the lid off the garbage can of hatred and racism and white supremacy, which has lasted throughout our history. Donald Trump didn't invent any of that. He's the mouthpiece for that. We need to impeach him and remove him from office. And if Mitch McConnell demands blind loyalty from the Republicans in the Senate, and they shamefully fail to convict and remove him, then we need to remove him. We need mass movements, mass demonstrations, and we need to defeat him in 2020. Hell yeah. As the labor organizer said, don't mourn. Organize, organize, organize. Thank you very much.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back, so stay tuned.
Crazy now, baby. 'Cause we all got it.
Next up, we're going to be listening to interviews done with a variety of people who took part in the demonstrations and rally in Los Angeles.
Now, what brought you out here?
I'm just tired of being frustrated. I'm tired of yelling at my TV and sitting on my couch and just being all alone in this. And, I've started talking to more and more people and realized that I need to do something, that I really need to get involved and do something, anything. And really out here on the street just trying to get the word out and let other people know this administration needs to come to an end. You know, what they're doing to people, it's obscene. You know, the lies every day, you know, that we're not seeing things that we're seeing. They're just trying to pull the wool over our eyes, and I'm just tired of it.
Were there other things that the Trump machine has done that actually make you cut on fire?
Separated 70,000 children from their families. I can't imagine my 11-year-old kids, my 11-year-old boys being separated from me for 10 minutes, let alone months on end. It's just wrong. It's absolutely wrong. Immigrants is not the problem that we have here in America. Intolerance is the problem that we have.
You're looking at Trump, you're looking at what's going on around this, the rise of fascism in this country. What do you think about that in relation to this?
I think Trump is a symptom. He's not the reason that it came about. This has been happening for a long time, and he's really just a symptom of that.
How do you see fighting
it? Impeachment inquiries are happening now. I'm carrying the impeachment now sign, but it's not happening fast enough. He's realized he can get away with still so much more, and we need to get him out as soon as we can. Yep. We're really looking at just very narrow things, stuff that's very easily provable, and we need to do so much more to be able to fight that.
Well, when you say you need to do so much more, how do you see this in relation to that, this what you're at today?
I want to get other people involved. I've today brought my mom, and last week brought my aunt, and hopefully I'll get more and more of family and friends out here and get more people involved, and really trying to make a difference.
Have you been involved in this for a while?
2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah. Okay, good. That's very
long time. 14
good.
Days
That's
now.
That's good. But one of the things that this has started out as is it's going to grow, and it's a fight to make it grow, because right now so many people are looking at this and they're thinking, okay, we'll wait for the elections. Yeah. We'll do this.
Yeah, we'll just wait. We'll let somebody else handle it. It's sad, but I think, part of it is people are end up being in their own shell, and, this stuff doesn't affect them until it affects them. And by that time, it really could be too late.
What do you see as the main danger in this?
The loss of our rights. I mean, the loss of us being able to get out here and even just be able to speak up against the administration. I mean, the way that he ends up treating people that disagree with him. No. Yeah.
What made the things really changed during the 60s was a lot of people out in the streets, a lot of people actually fighting to stop the kind of horror that was going on against people of different nationalities, the wars, all of these things. Now, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, where are these people? We need to get these people.
Yep.
Where are they? What do you think it's going to take to get them?
I don't know. I think I think right now it's just not affecting people. I just they may catch a glance of it on the TV or on the evening news or something like that and go, that's other people's problems. That really doesn't affect me. I think a big part of it is, people working so hard to be able to make a living that they don't have time for anything else. They just don't have the bandwidth to be able to deal with it.
One of the things that's really, revealing is that as we're talking about this and you're thinking about people don't have the time for this, they don't have the time for that. Well, actually, I would ask you this. Do you think that people don't have the time, or do you think that people really don't believe that it's actually, this is fascism, that it's actually, it's got to be defeated, it can't be talked out of office, all of these things, that actually there's a fight to be waged, and a lot of people don't want to face up to it.
Yeah. I think it's a level of personal responsibility, and I think social media actually does have a lot to do with that too, where people can shout into their tiny little keyboard and feel like, okay, there, I've done something, and they actually haven't really done that much.
Now, when you said that you just learned about this a couple weeks ago and you've been coming out since then, how did you learn about it?
Social media.
Okay, that's good. And that sort of, what did you see in that actually made you say, yes, I've got
to
be there?
People in my neighborhood standing up and trying to do something.
Our target are not those white. One more question. What would you say to people that are listening to this? And what would you say?
Get off your couches. Put your phones down and get out in the streets. You know, even if it's you and a buddy holding a sign, get out. It's time. It's time.
All right, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
What brought you here today?
I came because I've been coming out to the protests that this group has been doing the past few weeks, and it just seemed very important to me, with especially the impeachment currently happening, or the trials anyways.
When you said the things that have happened in the last few weeks got you inspired to come out, what were those things?
Well, the first protest that I ever went to was a few weeks ago in Santa Monica, also part of the Trump-Pence Out Now movement, and that was my first protest ever. I heard about it on campus because some of the people a part of Refuse Fascism there were speaking about the importance of speaking out against our current president.
What were your feelings about the current president?
It was... It's hard to put into words, but basically I feel that it's unacceptable that he's been disregarding the law, acting as though he lives above it, and encouraging white supremacy. It's just all very disturbing and disgusting to me.
You know, one of the things that happened in UCLA, too, there was this whole thing where Trump's kid.
Yes.
You know, there was something that was posed. I want to hear what you thought about that.
So as far as Trump Jr. coming to UCLA this past Sunday, so I was also at that protest. It was very concerning, especially with the whole DACA issue coming about this week as well. And it just broke my heart to know that this school that was providing so many ways for undocumented students to get an education was also creating this atmosphere that was unsafe for them. They were inviting this man who was just encouraging the white supremacist, and I was in shock, honestly, because I felt so encouraged to be in a place where everyone was treated with respect. And then to see them, to give him a platform, it's just hypocritical to me.
Then you didn't just walk away and have it be hypocritical. You're out here today, right?
So right.
Was there a connection between you feeling the need to stand up against what's happening?
Yes, I wasn't very involved in politics or protest movements before I came to UCLA, mainly just because I was in a smaller city, didn't really have all that information about how to get involved, and so when I saw that opportunity to make my voice be heard, I knew that it was important, and I felt like if I didn't let my voice be heard, then nothing comes of nothing. And one of the things that this group says during our protests is that silence is complicity, and I just knew that I couldn't be complicit anymore, and when I saw this opportunity, I knew I had to take it and to keep coming out.
Now, one of the things, I want to remember that silence is complicity because I want to come back to that, but one of the things, too, that's going on is that, you know, look, here we're talking about, he's actually a fascist, and what do you think about that definition of him? And then what impact do you think it has?
I think it's very accurate throughout my college experience and, well, really all of my schooling. You know, we've learned about Nazi Germany and learning about dictators and recognizing fascism. I recently saw the Michael Moore documentary, Fahrenheit 11/9. And it was interesting that he brought up the points that when he was in school growing up, they had videos on how to recognize fascism. And the way that Trump is behaving is very evident of that, in that he's insisting on staying in power longer than the presidency would even permit. He's trying to take away rights that have been implemented for several years, for what we fought for everything that America is supposed to represent, all of our freedoms, and he's trying to undo all the progress that we've made and to keep America white. Honestly, he doesn't show compassion for people of color, and he's seeming to call for ethnic cleansing, and that to me just shows part of how fascist he really is.
And then at the same time, you look at this,
and the number of students in UCLA,
not real big. What do you think it's going to take to get students and young people to stand up? One, to recognize, do you think people recognize that this is fashion? Or is there a battle to be had around that? What do you think it's going to take
to
bring people into this in a way where they will actually themselves be out here doing what you're doing?
I think it's going to take a wake-up call for them to realize this. I'm actually currently in a class about revolutions right now, and on our first day of class, our professor asked us what it would take for us to get out in the streets and protest, which kind of planted a seed in me as well, and really resonated. But a lot of the responses honestly shocked me. A lot of the students were saying, you know, well, maybe if it was made personal for me, if it meant ICE showing up at their door, or, you know, how much more extreme does it need to get before they step out and take action? And we need to step outside of our bubble. It's going to take more than posting on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. You know, as much good as it can be to get the word out, we need to use it to get people out in the streets in the physical world and to take a stand, because sharing the posts isn't enough. We need to show this out in the streets.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
But in the name of humanity. So, in the name of humanity.
In the name of humanity.
We refuse to accept.
We refuse to accept.
What brought you out here today?
Well, I found out about last week's protest when Donald Trump Jr. came to our school. And I stuck by after the protest, and I started talking to, like, the people who are part of Refuse Fascism. And they just started telling me more about the movement, and it just sounded really interested. So,
when you look at the world, what do you think about the condition of the world? What actually, you know, people talk about fashion. Do you think that this is fashion?
The thing that motivated me to come out is because I come from a low-income, like, Hispanic community, and I mean, just seeing on the news, like, kids being put in, like, those concentration camps, like, that's not okay. So there was this girl, she read a poem about, I think it was, first they came for the socialists, and I didn't do anything, and then they came for, like, other groups of people, and I didn't do anything because I didn't belong to those groups of people. And then finally they came for me, and there was no one to stand up for me. And that's what we have to do. We have to stand up for each other, because people say it's not affecting me, but eventually it will affect you.
Now, how do you bring that out to all those students at UCLA who aren't doing that?
Oh my God, that's a tough one. So we're handing out a lot of flyers. We've been, we host a webinar as well, where students can host, like, tune in and, like, listen to what we're all about.
Okay,
but
everybody.
Yeah, that's definitely
so
tough, like, getting everyone out here. I'm also part of the problem. Like, I have to be more direct with people and tell them, like, hey, this is what's going on. A lot of the times we, like, sugarcoat things, or we're, like, afraid to make people uncomfortable, and that's the problem. Like, we can't be nice anymore. We have to talk to people about these issues, even though it makes them uncomfortable, and, you know, just encourage them to come out.
So what would you say to all the people that are out there, the young people that are out there that are at UCLA or at other schools or aren't in school at all but aren't out in the streets stepping up against fascism either?
I think y'all need to get out here, because just tweeting about this, posting about this, that's not doing anything. You guys need to come out and fight for your future and your children's future, your family's future. You need to fight for everyone.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
See, it wasn't hard.
Okay.
Step back here.
always forget how loud the stuff gets.
All
right, so what brought you here today?
So, I've been learning a lot about how the world works and all that stuff, and I I've learned a lot, and it's really disgusting, and it's really disturbing what's happening, and I think that it's just, I had like a day, and I was like, I'm actually gonna go do something, because I've just been sitting like back and like reading about it. I think this is like just important to start like getting in the habit of actually doing like real stuff to make a difference.
I think, well, he brought me here today. Of course. So I think the same. Now that I'm a little bit older and more aware of what's going on, and I can see, things are becoming more obvious to me, just little things, and it's like really frustrating. And so, all right, let's talk about like the news, like what's going on in, what is it, Bolivia right now? And there was a coup, but I heard on the news when they announced it, they were like, the president of Bolivia has resigned from the, I was like, what? I was like, no way. So just like little things like that I keep happening, and I keep seeing them and how frustrating it is and how much of a facade that they've put up around for America, and talking to so many people who don't understand that. And so it's just like really frustrating.
Now, when you said you decided to come here, what did you think when you saw this? This is actually saying, look, this regime is a fascist regime. Right? What did you think of that? I'm wondering, because there's things that brought people, that made people feel compelled to be here, or even to just check out what was going on. But there's a backbone to this whole event that's going on all over the country.
Yeah.
That Donald Trump is a fascist, and he set up a fascist regime, and they're going ahead full force. What do you think of that?
Well, I didn't, like, for a while, I didn't really know how bad it was. I read this thing on, like, the RevCom site about, like, all the stuff that he's doing with, like, DACA and all the immigrants, and I thought, like, that was, I remember I was in class and I was reading that, and I felt shivers. It was horrifying. And I don't know, I couldn't, like, stand to think that this is happening now. And I saw this protest, and I was just like, I'm gonna go there, but it's horrible. And like, I was talking to some kid about like why, like he likes Trump. He's telling me how he likes Trump, and he's like, he's funny. They think it's like a joke. A lot of people don't understand the seriousness of it. You know, they think it's just like, it doesn't matter. People like him because he breaks outside the norms of, you know, the ruling establishment, and it's honestly terrifying, and it's gonna, and for a lot of people, it's just gonna, if this keeps happening, it's just gonna consolidate power, and then one day they're gonna be like, oh, this is fascism, and there's nothing you could do at that point.
When you look at it, Trump is a fascist.
Definitely.
He's got a fascist regime, and there's people in power have turned their backs on the cautionary history of the fascist and Nazi regimes. But it's actually on the lowest level possible that they're going after Trump.
And
in doing
so, yeah.
They're not really going after him as much as like pointing some things out. So it's very heavy to me, exactly what you're saying. Because, look, one thing is, did you think about this thing being
the
fascist?
The discourse of the Savior.
About it being fascism?
Like Trump.
It makes sense. It's not surprising, but just kind of frustrating. Like, a lot of the like horrible things that we're finding out, or that I'm finding out, it's not a surprise. It's more of just like that's disappointing. And I'm still learning like so much about it. Like, I definitely couldn't speak on everything, but I can see like what I want to stand for, and so I'm like, well, I'm just like going and learning about it.
What do you, when you talked about getting rid of this, about standing up against Trump and fascism, what do you think it's going to take?
It's going to take, a lot of work from a lot of people. It's going to take a lot of, a real disrupting of the norms. You're going to have to make it hard for the fascists to rule. That's what you're going to have to do. You're not going to just, you can't just annoy them. You know, you're going to actually have to make it impossible for them to function. And that's
It's really hard. I stood to oppose the Vietnam War.
You know, when you describe your own, how
people
you actually woke up to
this
stuff,
yeah.
That actually is very moving.
We
it's also very powerful.
You know,
you're going about your
we
life, and then all of a sudden you get this thing. I mean, where did you get the magazine, the RevCom, actually? Where did you get that?
Actually, my grandpa was a member of the party, and he introduced me to that stuff. And I remember when he first told me about it, I was like a liberal. I was like, what are you talking about? I didn't get it at all. And he lives in France, and I remember he took me to the poorer part of France, and it was like you could see all these immigrants everywhere. Like, there's like homeless people sleeping on the ground, and like miles away, there's like the Eiffel Tower, and it just really like woke me up to this. And what I think it does is it like shows that there's an alternative to what's happening, an alternative to not just, you know, fascism, but to like the system that breeds all of this.
Now, what would you say to all these other people that are out there, people your own age, people that you know, but people in general, people who actually are looking at what's happening as this fascist regime is consolidating itself and aren't doing what's actually necessary? What would you say to them?
Once you know like the reality of what's going on, it makes it really hard not to act. And I think the problem is people just don't know what's going on.
If they understand a little bit of what's going on, there's some people that don't see the validity of it. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding. And I know a lot of my friends, when they're looking at like our government in general, they almost think of it as a joke, like, oh, Trump's at it again. And like, if you can think about it that way if you want to, but to think about the fact that it's actually happening. Nobody, I think we're so comfortable right now that nobody really has like a fight or flight response at the moment. It's more of just like you see everything through a TV screen, but if you don't feel like it's directing, it's like affecting you directly, you're not that motivated. And I would just like ask, why would you be, if you're not happy about what's going on, why would you sit in it? And if you like learn about it, and if you see a reason to fight for like even a better place, not even just for you but for other people, like why wouldn't you do that?
I thought this was kind of eye-opening. This was before I even knew about all this stuff. But I was at school, I was talking to one of my friends, he's Hispanic, he's younger than me. I was talking to him about Trump, and he was like scared. And I was like, what are you like talking about? I didn't like I got that it was bad, but like I didn't know why. And it was like if he gets reelected, like he's like, I'm gonna move, you know? So it's a real threat to a lot of people, the most vulnerable people in the society too. And it's just, it's disgusting how like unnecessary it is too. These people are just going out of their way to like make these people's lives horrible, and they don't even have to, you know? So yeah,
Trump's program is fascist, and they shamefully consolidated power. You know, you look at that, you think, okay, what do they have in mind for humanity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scary. It's just scary.
Doesn't it get you mad too?
Of course.
Yeah, it gets you. It's like mad, but in like a motivating way.
Yeah.
Very good point. So you guys gonna be a part of this movement now?
I've been thinking about it for a while, but this is the first time I've actually like come out here.
You need to come out more.
Yeah.
Get in touch with people here to work with. Get it out to your friends. What do you do actually?
Well, we're both in high school.
Yeah.
Actually.
Juniors.
So how are people in your schools? How do they look at this?
Our schools, I would classify, we have very like liberal, almost blindsided, like stubborn, in a way. Like, I guess like he was saying, because I feel like he's always been super, I've always taken a backseat on politics because it got almost uninteresting to me when I saw like how much foolishness that was. I was like, I'm not that motivated to be that involved about it. But there's a lot of like liberals at our school who are super, like they're against Trump, but I feel like in the wrong ways. Like they don't see all of the like the little things and the nuances, and I wouldn't even think that they would know about the fascism.
It's not even the nuances, it's the fundamentals. They're focusing on the nuances,
yeah.
I would say.
Well, yeah. So I just think there's a lot of people that are they're so motivated but about the wrong things that they get so stuck in their ways that it might, they're like the type of people that are open until there's something that isn't agreeing with them, and then they're not open anymore.
So how do you think, what's the way to get them, break them out of that?
Well, you have to find the people that are willing to have an actual discussion about it and just like start honestly talking about it. Like, I'm here because we started talking about it and I was like, that's actually really interesting. But if he didn't bring it up, I wouldn't have listened, or I wouldn't have even like, I wouldn't seek it out. And so I think first finding the people that are willing to actually have a conversation with you and like listen to what you're saying and just keep talking about, honestly, just making people aware of it. And then when you become aware, most people would feel motivated. Like, I'm understanding now and I'm like, I want to change things. But if I wouldn't have known, then I wouldn't feel the need to change anything.
It's attacking our rights.
End up with you. How
there's a thing called the Bill of Rights.
What?
What?
Freedom of press,
what
is freedom of speech,
do a
free will.
What can you say to people that who are in your class?
No matter where you're from.
The people that know what's going on, or the people who don't know.
What color your skin is, we are all one.
Should know.
And we have to act out.
You have to act. You don't want to be on the bad side of history, you know. And by the time you feel the need to act, it's going to be too late. So now is the time to get out.
Thank you very much.
And that brings us to the end of yet another show. I want to thank all those who worked on the show, my assistant producer Henry Carson, production assistant Jeff Pryor, and thanks to each and every one of you for tuning in. If you want to write to me, you can at mslate@themichaelslateshow.com. Once again, that's mslate@themichaelslateshow.com. We're going to go out now with Troubled Times by Green Day. Talk to you again next week.
Troubled times. We live in troubled times.